And we welcome you in to a Friday edition of My Car Guru as we've reached not only the end of the week, but the end of the month, which is usually a big time for car dealerships. And Lenny Lawson joins us from Gateway Ford and Nissan in Greenville.
You know, it's kind of weird how when the month ends on a Friday, I think every month should end on a Saturday as far as car business is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you arrange that. Is that like legislation? Would we have to do that? Would we have to go to Congress, get them to work together to make all months end on Saturday?
Well, good luck with that, even if it was something that could be done. good luck with getting them to agree on something like that.
Don't I know that? I've been suffering through body pain this week. I'm still trying to recover. You know, a 64-year-old should not try to play basketball with an aggressive 12-year-old. And I was fine until my last move. I ended up winning a game of 21 with him,
mm-hmm.
And he was pretty upset about that. Mm-hmm. He says, I shouldn't get beat by somebody that's as old as you. And I said, gee, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
I said, I've still got game. At least a little bit. I don't have body, but I got game. What is it they say that my mind is writing checks that my body can't cash?
That's it, yes.
Is that the saying?
That's the saying, yeah.
So I got my second COVID shot this week, and I just kept waiting for a reaction. You know, everybody kept telling me, you get the second shot, you know, you're going to get sick, you're going to have a fever, you're going to feel achy, stuff like that, and I kept waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see, I got the shot on Tuesday, so Wednesday, midday, I started saying, am I feeling something? You know, it's just weird. What's that? Is that a pain? Is that a sick? Am I starting to feel nauseated? You know, so anyway, I got nothing. I had no reaction.
It almost makes you a little paranoid, doesn't it, that something, the shoe's going to drop, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, you're just sitting there waiting, because so many people have told me that they had a reaction to the second shot. I had the, Pfizer shot,
mm-hmm.
and I had nothing. I was waiting on something, but nothing came, and I'm glad. I've seen some people just really get knocked out with it, but to me, it's better than getting COVID, so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the shot. Took home, went to Mom's last night, and doggone it, my F-150 has a little problem. Of course, I level with my audience. I don't know whether sometimes it costs me a sale or not, but this particular F-150, we had a technical service bulletin that says that at the factory, certain F-150s had a windshield seal problem. Well, Tim, I'm pretty sensitive to musty smells. I go to a lot of auctions and mm-hmm. buy cars. You know, when a car's been wet, if it's been underwater or it's wet, the carpet's been soaked, you know, it gets that kind of musty smell. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, sure do.
Kind of like your tennis shoes, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that wet, musty smell. And so I started smelling it. I just got a hint of it yesterday. I said, that doesn't smell right. This thing smells wet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled it around. I didn't think anything else about it until I started to go home last night. And I got back in the truck, and it had been sitting out in the sun. And I said, wow, something's not right. So I got out. This thing has these plastic floor liners over the carpet. They came directly from Ford that way. I lifted it up, put my hand underneath it, and it was soaking wet.
Oh, goodness.
And it was damp in the front floorboard, but it was underneath the passengers or the back seat, and you know, in the floorboard of the back seating area, it was dripping wet.
Hmm.
And so it's over at the service department now, having the seats taken out of it, having the carpet taken out of it. And so what we'll do is we will find the source of the leak. That's what warranties are for. We'll find the source of the leak, stop it, and then all of the carpeting, insulation, if any of the wiring was an issue, typically that's not an issue because it's protected and sealed. They know that floorboards get wet in trucks, and they have special ways of engineering the floor and the wiring to make sure that it's not subject to that unless it goes completely underwater. But we will pull all that out and put on new stuff in. You know, this happened back in 2015, except that time it was a self-inflicted wound. I got this brand new F-250 diesel. And, Tim, I never open the sunroof on a vehicle. I am just not. I like convertibles, but I'm just not a sunroof guy. And this truck had one of those panoramic sunroofs, and I'm feeling it one day, and I was excited. My new F-250 diesel came in, and I opened the sunroof, pulled it in my driveway, go in, turn it off. Next morning, I come out with my grandson. We're going to go get some biscuits, and open up the door, and it had rained that night, and it was still raining inside of my F-250. There were puddles of water in the seats of my F-250. So anyway, water and interiors don't go well together. But, you know, if you have a problem like that, like real early on in your purchase, it can really be frustrating. And don't you think, Tim, when you buy something, you bring it home, and it doesn't work. You know, it's just, it's so flusterating, as they say down here.
That's right.
But anyway, I took a sip of coffee. Excuse me.
It's frustrating. I say it is very frustrating. I mean, you're excited about it, and it's a major purchase, and then, by golly, something goes wrong, and you got to take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, so is that a reason to bring the vehicle back? Well, I mean, if it's like the day after, yeah. I mean, I think that the dealership would be remiss not to work with you on something like that. You know, if it's a month later, I understand your frustration, but that's what warranties are for, and sometimes things made by humans break, and I totally get it, though. You know, if you have water intrusion on a new vehicle, and it's, like, real early, or even at any time that it's still under warranty, most of the time they're going to take the carpeting out, and they're going to take the insulation out, and they're going to put it out on the hot asphalt and let it dry out, and it'll be fine, but you know, if it's been there for a while and you get any kind of a hint of a musty smell or anything, don't let them put that formerly wet carpet back in your vehicle. Insist on new carpet. You'll be able to get it. You'll just have to insist on it. Mm-hmm. You may have to call customer assistance and file a complaint, but, you know, I don't think manufacturers have a leg to stand on if you get water intrusion in the inside of a vehicle. So, anyway, it's going to happen occasionally. You just got to be prepared. I did find out this morning that some of my assets are worth more than I thought. You know, I have little toy cars and stuff in my office. People think I'm just a grown up kid, which is true. And you know, I like having old stuff around me, and I like old cars. And my dad, when he worked for Chevrolet, and he was actually an employee of Chevrolet Motor Division, he wasn't a dealer. Back in the 50s and 60s, he would always bring home, whenever they had a new car announcement, before they'd show the cars to the public, he'd bring home these little pre-made models of cars. Mm-hmm. And they're bigger than a Matchbox car, but I still have most of those that he brought home. And but I just kind of like having those kind of things around. And I've got a few in this particular office, but I was reading this morning about Matchbox cars and Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. And the value of some of those things have just gone out the roof. We'll talk about that right after this break.
Back here, My Car Guru, for a Friday morning. And, you know, Lenny, you mentioned Hot Wheels, and I think like a lot of youngsters, like a lot of boys in the late 60s, into the 70s, I played with Hot Wheels, and I had several Hot Wheels that I really thought a lot of. And I had one of those rally cases. You remember the rally cases you could put the Hot Wheels
in? Yes.
And I had one of those, and I remember I had several good ones that I liked, and one was a school bus, which was a hot rod school bus that you could, that you could jack up in the front end and all that. And I found out a few years ago when I first got into the antique stuff really heavy that had I still had that school bus, first of all, just as it was, and this was many years ago, it was worth about $600 if I just had that school bus back. But I also found out that had I had that school bus still in its original packaging, that it would have been worth about $2,500. And I thought, man, I wish I still had that. But My nephew got a hold of them, long since played with them, and I don't know what happened to them after that. But, you know, had we only known now or then what we know now, we would be in better shape. But, yeah, that was a great memory, having those Hot Wheels. And now those Hot Wheels can be very, very valuable.
Yeah, they came out in about 1968, and it was done in response. And of course, Hot Wheels was a Mattel, or an American company, and, you know, they were, Matchbox cars have been very successful for a long time, but, you know, Matchbox cars were more exact replicas or close replicas of existing vehicles. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have some pretty valuable Matchbox cars that we kept. We didn't throw away anything. My brother wouldn't let me play with stuff in the dirt, you know. I wanted to hit the dirt with it, and he said, no, too nice. We'll play with other kids' toys in the dirt. So anyway. But, yeah, I remember around 68, I think it was Christmas, when I got my first Hot Wheels track. You know, it's that orange track, and it had little purple clips that clipped the track together. It had a loop-de-loop and
absolutely
all that, and I had a lot of fun with those. But, I mean, I just thought that the Matchbox cars were just so superior in quality, but they weren't fast, you know. And the guys who developed the Hot Wheels cars realized that to live up to the name, they needed to move pretty quickly across the linoleum and on the track. So they did, but gosh, unbelievable values right now. I'm looking at a Hot Wheels. This is a 1968 Camaro. So this is the first year. This was an enamel white one. I think you were talking about it.
Yep.
So it's one of the most expensive toy cars in existence now. It's worth approximately $100,000 if it's in decent condition.
Yep.
Crazy. Here's a Matchbox Quarry truck, which my brother and I have. It's a dump truck. What makes it worth $15,000 is if it's in mint condition and has the original box, which we don't have the original box. We just have the truck. So that reduces the value by quite a bit. Now, here's another one, the antifreeze. I have this one, the Hot Wheels antifreeze over chrome 1968 Camaro. It's just a 68 Camaro that looks like antifreeze color with red stripe wheels. I'm sure mine's not worth $25,000, but this, if it's in really good condition, it is. Can you believe that? I mean, just nostalgia, what people will pay for stuff. But, you know, it rolls over to just everyday vehicles. I ordered a Marty Report for my Ford Bronco. I ordered the deluxe Marty Report. Now, what is that? Well, if you like old Ford vehicles, you know, one of the first things that you do if you buy something older than mid-70s, you look under the driver's side seat up in the springs, and you will find the build sheet for the vehicle. That's where they stuck them back in the 60s and 70s. That's a valuable thing to have. It tells you, you know, what in code, unfortunately, but it does tell you. You can look online and decipher it. It tells you how that car was born, you know, what color it was, what options it have, you know, does it have, you know, what gear ratio does it have in the rear end, you know, what other options does it have. If you go a little bit further, you can order a report from a guy named Kevin Marty, and he and his wife both used to work for the Ford Motor Company. Mm-hmm. And when they got out, somehow they were able to acquire the rights to market the records for Ford and older vehicles, and so I ordered a report from them, and I get an actual reprint of my window sticker for the Ford Bronco that I have. Now, my Bronco is a 1970. It's not original paint. It's original color. It was painted once, and not a great paint job. Okay, you know, the interior is all original. When I bought it, had 33,000 actual miles on it. Now it has about 37,000. But I was looking online, and I was on eBay about 8 years ago, and I found this thing, and ended up acquiring it for about $17,000, which at the time, you know, I felt like I was stretching a little bit, but Broncos were just starting their upward tick. Today, that vehicle would probably bring between $50,000 and $60,000.
Yep.
So that was a pretty good investment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sell it, but you know, I could make significant money. But here's the original window sticker for my Bronco and some details on it that I found out just because of the Marty report. Window sticker was originally $3,626.10. It's interesting how cheap options were back then. Base price was $3,149. The 302 V8 engine was an additional, over the six-cylinder, there was an additional $215. Front and rear chrome bumpers, $30 option. Hardboard headliner. So this thing, instead of having a just metal roof, this has a little bit of headliner. That was $15. Hand throttle. And I'm not exactly sure what the hand throttle is for. Maybe to run a PTO or something off the transmission is the only thing I can figure. Or, like if you were... Normally, you don't see hand throttles. This hand throttle was a $3.71 option. Somebody ordered this thing. Mm-hmm. Auxiliary fuel tank was $27, and then wheel covers were $23, bringing the grand total up to $36.26. Transportation charges back in 1970 to get this anywhere around the country was $160. Today, it's right at $1,000 transportation charges. But of the now here's the interesting thing that the Marty report does. Of the 18,452 1970 Broncos that were built, 16,752 were wagons like mine. 13,600 plus came with 302s. About the same number had three-speed manual. About all of them, all of them were three-speed manual transmissions. 1,138. Were painted the same color as mine, reef aqua, of which 200 had parchment vinyl bench seats. 60 of those were equipped with hand throttle controls. 32 of them came with auxiliary fuel tanks. Of these, 4 were produced with front and rear chrome bumpers. 3 of those had hardboard headliners, and of them, only 1 was ordered with 7x3.5x15 black sidewall tires, and that is my Bronco. So it is one of one, in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then it has this the last part of this particular report. It tells you what date the order was received at the factory, the date that the vehicle was actually built. Mine was built in May 23rd of 1970. Getting ready to have a birthday coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sold at a dealership. It was called Kemp Motor Company in Green River, Wyoming, and I know who the person was that bought it, and he happened to be an amateur gemologist, a retired guy that was a geologist, but he was really into gems, and he would take his Bronco and go out into the mountains around where he lived in Montana and search for specific types of gemstones. He passed away, and his grandson inherited the vehicle and drove it from Montana to Florida, where he lived. And then he realized that this is not a vehicle that he wants to keep, so he put it on eBay, and then Lenny Lawson ended up with it. So that's those connecting lines to me make, and the history of a vehicle just makes it so much more valuable. So, and obviously that same impact happens with toys.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully if you've got any stored away somewhere, your grandmother or mother still has the original house, you might call them, see if they kept any of your toys. My parents did. I stuck them up in the attic, and we retrieved them one time and have had a lot of fun with them since. But you might want to give them a call because you might be a little bit more well off than you think you are.
That's
so we'll
right.
take our last break and be back in just a minute.
Back here for the final couple of minutes of My Car Guru on this Friday morning. By the way, Lenny, for those who might wonder, the, far as I know, the most expensive, most valuable Hot Wheels is a 1969 Beach Bomb. It's a van, and it's a prototype. And the reason it's so valuable is normally on these particular cars, toy cars, the surfboards that were in that van loaded through the side window. Well, this particular van, it's loaded through the back window. And that's what makes it unique, and it is a prototype. And
wow.
At last report, I was just looking it up here. I knew it was the most valuable. I just wanted to look up and see what the value is. At the last report I found, it's worth $175,000.
Hmm. That's worth a phone call to Grandma, isn't it?
That sure is.
You know, my dad kept a few of his toy cars from the 30s that he used to play with, and they're obviously bigger, made out of heavy duty stamped metal. I mean, you can almost hurt yourself playing with them, and that's what I don't like to let my grandkids play with our Tonka toys and our Buddy L cars. I have them there, and they do play with them, but if they drop them, you know, they're walking across the floor and drop it, it could actually cut them. You know, obviously, toy safety has come a long way. But, yeah, those Matchbox, another brand of cars that my brother and I used to collect were called Corgi Toys.
Yep.
And they were very similar to Matchbox, same made in England, but they were much higher quality and a little bit bigger. And so, you know, those are valuable as well. So start digging through the attic. Hopefully some of those might still be around. You never know. You got to look for them. But, you know, that's fun to do, and I'm really grateful that my parents weren't exactly hoarders, but they kept a lot of stuff, anything that had any kind of emotional attachment to their boys, especially my mom. They kind of held on to that stuff, and I'm glad they did.
Yeah, that's a good thing because the value on some of that stuff just keeps going right on up.
Yep, so that's right. All right, sir. Well, we're come down to Gateway this weekend. We're going to be wide open. Today it's the last day of the month, but tomorrow we're going to continue this sale that we're having and our grand opening. It's been a really, really quite the blessing with the grand opening of the new Nissan store. It's been very good, and especially since Ford product is difficult to get, we've been able to get several extra truckloads of Nissan product, and so it's working pretty well. Come down and see us. I'll be here tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. Lenny, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you on Monday.